Have you recently considered the story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22? If you haven't recently considered that, please go through these thoughts with me, but also read Patriarchs and Prophets chapter 13. It's a chapter called The Test of Faith. Read that because there's way more explanation there than what I'll cover in this moment, but this is right after a time where Abraham, he lost a little bit of faith in God's protection, and so he said that Sarah was his sister. And also Sarah was suggesting something about like not being able to fulfill the promise that God had in his mind with Abraham because she was old and he was old. And so she suggested Hagar and Abraham fell for that, kind of like, you know, a fish taking bait. And so what happens is God needed to test Abraham in a way that would expose Abraham's faith and trust in him as the God who can take care of all things. And so we'll get into the story just like that here. It says in Genesis 22, verse 1, it came to pass after those things that I just mentioned about Sarah and Hagar, etc., God tempted Abraham again. Now, the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with evil, but it's not God that's being tempted here. God is tempting Abraham. And guess what? It's not temptation of evil. It's a temptation to show your faith. It's actually a temptation in righteousness. And so God did tempt Abraham and said unto him in a vision, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. So Abraham knew that God was calling him, and Abraham was saying, I am here, I am yours, what do you need? And he said, take now thy son, your only son, by promise, your only son, by the one that I said would come to you, your only son, Isaac. Your only begotten from the promise, whom thou lovest. This is not a son that you hate, this is a son that you love. And get you into the land of Moriah. Now that land of Moriah, interestingly, is where Solomon later built a temple, which ended up, unfortunately, being somewhat of a standard of idolatry. But you're going to take your son to the land of Moriah, and you're going to offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, like I said, because he was sleeping in this vision that was given to him. He rose up early in the morning. This is something that he was called to do as something now. Go now, as it said here before. Take now thy son. He rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass or his donkey. Today it would be like he put fuel in his car. And he took two of his young men with him. So these were the servants, most likely. And Isaac, his son. And he clave the wood for a burnt offering, and he rose up and went unto the place that God had told him of. Now, so what's very fascinating about this is we know that Sarah was around. There was some servants that were there. He called the servants and he called his son. He prepared them all, broke the wood, got everything ready, and took off. He wasn't willing to tell his wife. The wife was probably still sleeping when they went because it says he rose up early in the morning. He prepared everything and left. It said nothing about Sarah. Most likely, Sarah would have been in a mother's heart so contrarily against this that he would have most likely had to battle getting out of there to be able to fulfill what he believed was God's will. So in this case, he chose not to tell his wife. He chose to just leave and go with his son and these servants the way that God had called him to go. And so it says in verse 4, then on the third day, wait a minute, 3 days, like 3.5 days of Christ? Yeah. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men that were with him, abide ye here with the donkey. It's going to be my son and I alone. And I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship, and we will come again to you. And so now Abraham is pretty stressed out. He is going to fulfill the Lord's will, but this is already after the third day. Can you imagine how long that first day was? How he may have been up all night sleeping, and then how all that next day he was wondering when it was that God was going to send an angel or something to tell him, no, you don't really have to do this. God was just testing you. But here he is the third day. He can see the place. He tells the servants to stay, and he goes on again with one of the longest days of his life. He's walking along with his son. It says there in verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering laid it upon Isaac just as the wood was laid upon Jesus, his son. Don't forget that. That's a very important part right here. His son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. A knife for what, Abraham? What are you going to do with that knife? Well, he knows. Nobody else knows. And they went, both of them, together. We must understand that Abraham knew what was going on. The son did not know what was going on. Abraham, as the father figure, knew more at this point and understood what was going on. The father had a knife, the father had fire, and the wood was laid on the back of the son. This is amazing. This picture is outstanding. Looking forward to an illustration of when God gave his only begotten son. Now, we must understand that the only begotten son is, in this scenario, Isaac. But you might say, now, wait a minute, there's another son. There's Ishmael. Yes. But remember, Satan was trying to confuse, or Satan was trying to obscure the fact that Isaac was the only begotten son of promise. And so he came up with this idea, whispered in the ear of Sarah. Sarah whispered into the ear of Abraham. Abraham and Hagar did their thing. And that's where Ishmael came from. But God had promised an only son through Sarah. It was the son of promise. And so what we can see in this scenario, it was the only begotten son, the one that God had planned, not the one that the enemy was trying to obscure, the fact that God had called for an only begotten son. So let's understand as we continue on in verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abraham, don't miss this part, his father. Isaac is the only son. Abraham is the father that's going to take the life of his son. And Isaac speaks to his father and he says, my father. Can you imagine what it would be like? If you're a parent and you know and understand how precious it is to have a child, you know, like you're holding that baby and you're just wanting that nothing will ever hurt that child. You don't like it when your child falls and scrapes his knee and cries out and just wonders, like, have you ever had something like this before? And you're saying, yes, it's okay. It's going to be okay. It hurts now, but it'll be better later. And when your child stubs its toe, or when there's this potential accident that you're in or whatever, and you're wondering, like, oh, that could have taken the life of my son. That could have taken the life of my daughter, whatever it is that you have. You know, you think about that all the time as a parent, and you wonder, like, what would it be like if my child died? What would that be like? How wrenching would that be on my heart? I mean, there's times where you might scold your child for marking on the wall or breaking something in the house, or, you know, that handprint again on that glass of your car. Like, why do you keep doing that? I have to clean this every single time. But if your child passed away, oh man, that handprint on that wall, or that handprint on that glass, the mark on the wall, the sock in the corner, every single thing that your son or daughter left behind, you wouldn't ever want to lose. That would be like a treasure that you'd never want to get rid of. And here, you're thinking about this idea that your son is about to die, not by some random accident or not some illness, but by your own hand. And it says here in verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and he said, my father, with those innocent eyes that has no idea what Abraham, his father, is about to do. My father, he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. You have to forgive me, I'm a little overwhelmed here. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, for the third time now, here am I. A little bit shaken, I'm sure. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld, who? Thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, what was it? A ram. It was caught in a thicket by his horns. And so imagine for just a moment, you know that Abraham understood the story of God preparing a garment made from the skin of a lamb for Adam and Eve. And so he understood about the sacrifices. And what's going on here is this ram is caught by the horns, which is on his head, in a thicket. Now I can imagine that this illustrates Christ with thorns upon his head. He turns around and he sees in that ram the one that God would provide. He sees in that ram somebody caught by the head, caught by his horns, with this thicket surrounding the horns or the head. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered the ram up for a burnt offering in the place of who? In the place or stead of his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, that is said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, and because thou hast done this thing, thou hast done this thing, and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Is that you? Are you willing to do what God has asked you to do? Are you willing to illustrate in your own life the plan of salvation, in even offering up perhaps your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, yourself? I'm willing by God's grace and by God's grace alone. And I pray that we would all be prepared for that time where we, like sheep, will be offered up on behalf of what God's plan is for our life and for the lives of others around us. God bless you.